It ain't no pressure, bro.
It's usually not a big deal.
Pretty quiet environment.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
They get the shooting out there.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
Keep them prices low. Property values.
Right. Smart way to do it. I ain't never think about it. I might start busting out.
You know what I'm saying? Bow, bow. Like twice in my pop.
Oh, shit.
Nah, you ain't...
Rent just went down $15.
When they tear that house down.
Listen to what they saying. Peep the game. And listen to what I'm saying. Hold us accountable.
I wonder who I do it for, cause I've been fucked up. But I'ma need you to listen, so shut the fuck up.
Welcome back to the Lost in Translation podcast. It's your boy Juice.
It's George.
You back with another week, man. And listen, we got a special guest in the building. Somebody we've been trying to get in this bitch for umpteen years.
How
that's
long?
What I think. I think
how
it's
long?
Been umpteen years.
Oh, come
how
on.
Long have we been doing it? Umpteen months then. All right. Can I say umpteen months?
Umpteen months.
Umpteen
good.
Months. Yo, we got our boy Rich in the building. What's going
it's
on?
Richie.
Man?
Hello, folks. What's happening? I'm in the building. What's cracking?
Yeah, man. I think he's a special guest because Rich is one of those people that I see. He motivates me sometimes. He gives me inspiration a lot. You know what I mean? We have conversations and things like that. You know what I mean? Oh,
he's
Richard works with us.
Fountain of wisdom.
Yeah.
Fountain of wisdom.
Yeah. I come with problems. I'm just saying. I ain't trying to boost your head or nothing, but you know what I mean? I come with problems to you sometimes, and you give me a nice answer, like a very profound answer. I'm like, all right, I see it your way, Rich.
All right, I can respect that.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, that's what it is, man. Let's get to know you a little bit. Let the folks get to understand Rich. Like I was saying, I don't know how I'm going to get that out of there, but we want to get to know Rich. So, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Nothing too... You know, I know this is a deep question.
Whatever you want to tell the people.
Yeah, whatever you want to tell the people.
Just to introduce yourself.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to keep it light. You know what I mean? You can get to know me as you get to know me. You know what I mean? If you get to see me again, hear me again, you get to learn a little more. Right now, I'm going to give you little nuggets.
All
right. You know? So you're getting the four-piece from me today. All right? So here it is.
Looking for the eight, but all right.
Well, all right. You know what I mean? Eight-piece comes later. Next
all right,
podcast.
All right. We'll take
we
four.
So, you know, my name is Rich. Alias Rich. I'm a married man with kids. You know, I've known these two fellas here, Juice, George, known them for many years now. So, you know, we didn't just met, you know, like last yesterday or whatever. So, you know, we've known each other for a minute and worked together and whatnot. And me myself, I'm a Haitian native.
Okay.
So there it is. I'm not
Wycliffe.
I wasn't born. Yeah, that's my boy right there. I wonder what he up to lately. That's what I want to know. But yeah, nevertheless, I was born in Haiti, raised in the U.S. You know, I came over here at an early age. I was somewhere around about 8 years old when I came to the U.S. And actually, believe it or not, I had to learn English from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I had an ESL teacher. Back when I was in elementary school, Georgetown. You know, I went to elementary school at Georgetown, you know, Sussex County area,
right.
Delaware. Oh, pretty much. Well, okay, hold on. Let me back up. When I first came to the States, I resided in New York with my aunt and uncle, cousins.
Okay.
So, you know, I stayed in New York for I don't even know how long. You know, I was a kid, and I don't think I was going to school. I didn't go to school in New York. I was just out. New York was my holding cell.
Right.
Until I can get clearance to come to Delaware. So
right.
So that's where I was for some time, and then moved over here, went to elementary school in Delaware, Georgetown, Laurel, where else did we stay? Seaford. I stayed in Blades. I've been all over Sussex County.
Sound like it.
Yeah, anybody who's from Delaware, you know, Delaware's only but so big, and I done been through the whole span of Delaware, believe it or not, from Selbyville to, I don't think I ever lived in Selbyville. I worked in Selbyville.
Right. You don't know if you lived there.
I don't remember living in Selbyville. But yeah, I lived in Wilmington, which is, you know, tippy top of the Delaware area. So I've been all over Delaware and I liked it. You know, I've also been all over the U.S. you know, traveling. More recently with my new but not so new wife.
Right.
You know, I've been married going on 5 years. This year will be 5 years.
That's a milestone stuff. Right there.
A milestone.
Definitely.
And I gotta prep for that.
Like, you definitely gotta prep today. For that one. Yeah.
Now you better have something ready. How long do you got?
July 8th is the Oof. Day. So
you better get started yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple of ideas and where to go, just that and a third. So it's not a new thought for me, fellas.
Okay.
But it comes back to reality. You know, snaps me back to reality every time I make mention of something like that. Anyway, but yeah, that's to the extent. Went to school Sussex County area. Graduated high school in Seaford. Went to college. Well-known community college here in Delaware. Went to Del Tech. Then I attended some school up in the Philadelphia area when I lived in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. I've been all over Delaware and got educated all over Delaware. From the streets to the finest of the finest technical establishment.
Hey, man.
I done got... Oh, and you know, let's not forget the church, y'all.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I got a lot of knowledge and education, you know, in the church as well.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't no scholar, biblical scholar or nothing right.
But you consider yourself a religious man?
Absolutely. You know, okay. I've been indoctrinated.
that makes it sound bad, but
it's you know, although overall I can say I've had a good well-rounded life coming up.
Okay.
You know, so that's where I'm at today. Myself and my wife, we bought a house about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a house, my first house, first property I ever purchased. And you know, it was nice, you know. Right now we just living life.
Right.
And here I am, trying to tap into this newfound talent of my fellas here. Well, it's not new, but it's the talent that they've what you call it? Hobby.
Yeah. Hobby
fits.
Yeah, so yeah, this newfound hobby of my fellas here, you know, and I definitely want to tap in because this thing's mad as fun, you know, fun as I don't know what.
All right.
And you know, I just want to get in and, you know what I mean, just enjoy
it. Dip your toes in.
See about this podcasting. I think it's going to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to keep it funky with you. It's a couple of things I didn't know about you as you were explaining.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's 100%. All good. Yeah.
I'm like, hold on. Wait a second. We've known each other how long? And I just figured this out. I mean, but that's a good thing. You know, I mean, there's a couple of things that we can actually tap into as far as like getting to know you more on and off the podcast. You know what I mean?
I've never had, you know, let's face it. We've never had sat down and had a formal interview of each other.
That's 100% true. Like,
That's true. I mean, most of our time spent is probably at work.
Exactly. So at work, you're not going to be like interviewing people to the extent of, you know, so when did you stop peeing in bed? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't get that deep at work.
You got stopped?
13. Yeah, man, shit. Like, there's a lot there. You said you're a Haitian native. There was just one thing I wanted to ask that was on my mind. I was going to save for this moment.
So it was recorded for everyone to know?
Yep. So, there's a lot that I don't know about Haiti, of course. You know what I mean?
Myself as well. You know, but go ahead.
Yeah, so like this question is not necessarily what you know.
How you know it.
Yes. Yeah, let's go with that.
This way gets deep.
So your parents, they're full Haitian, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they're from Haiti, born and raised.
Yeah, born and, you know, grew up in Haiti.
Okay, so what are five Haitian culture, like, I know this.
You just say three?
That's five.
You run this man through the ring.
Five, that's what I do. Five right. is usually right. the five general is nice. Number.
If I give you five, I hope you can settle for three, bro.
Yeah, I don't ask you your top three rappers. I want to hear five.
You do you. So many. Yeah.
So I just want to know five cultural things about Haiti that you either love or you kept a hold of, like whether it's food, like cuisine. Yeah. The religious aspect or just anything. Just
okay,
five things that that you love about your Haitian background.
More or less Haitian related more than anything else. I got you. Five things. I got you. This should be pretty easy for me. Well, I love the food, first and foremost. You said it right there, partner.
That cuisine
is phenomenal. Right. You've had Haitian food, George?
Possibly.
Man, it'll change your life.
Both of your island boys.
I'm always down for it.
Yeah, but you had the Dominican style cuisine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite
similar. I was about to say, it's got to be pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite similar, you know what I mean, with distinctions and everything.
All right. To interrupt.
Yeah.
My bad. What's your favorite dish? Haitian dish.
Oh, wow. Just one. Oh, my goodness.
Go far. Yeah, nah, I'm simple, man.
Favorite Haitian dish. All right. Man, look, I love that lalo legume.
You gotta explain.
Unless see, there's legume is the vegetable mixture that is well mixed and well blended, and it's got a concoction of vegetables, specific vegetables, and spices, man, that just makes it this awesome dish that's just wonderful to have. And there's two types of it. There's there's the one that's made with what you call it, like a eggplant, cabbage, and so forth. And then there's one that's made mainly, I believe it's not, I don't want to say spinach. It's a type of greenery.
Okay.
Gosh, watercress. It's watercress. Oh. It's type of green. I don't know which type for sure. I had to get with my mom's on that one.
Right. Shame on me, right?
Just don't even know the type of greenery. Hey. But yeah, that's my favorite Haitian dish. With some white rice on the side. You know what I mean? So I have it with some goat meat. You know, or some beef. You know.
Okay.
The legume itself would have the beef meat chunks in it,
right,
or the goat, whichever meat you choose. But man, it just goes well. You know, you could add some sauce plot to it, which is the bean sauce.
Okay.
You know, like the black bean sauce, that
right
is. You can have it with the white bean sauce, which is the cannoli beans. You know, you can have it with the cannoli bean sauce or the black eye bean sauce. You know, it's both of this magnifique, man. Boy.
Okay,
make you want to slap your mama for real,
right? So what kind of like food is that? Like Karen would say, that's a casserole.
Like, no. Casserole's in a pan baked in the oven. That's like a stew. I was gonna say stew.
I guess you could say it's more like a stew. But you put it on top of your rice, you know, if you're gonna have rice with it, or you know what I'm saying, the old classic mai moulin, which is cornmeal. You know, it's like gritty cornmeal.
Okay.
So it could be very smooth, it could be, you know what I mean, gritty, it's all how you like it. I like my moulin as well. It's a delicacy, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the Haitian cuisine. Just definitely is a whole
just hit different, huh?
Yeah. So that's that. I love the music. I love my Haitian music, compa. That's the main style of Haitian music I listen to. You know, there's old school Haitian music called Tubadou. You know, I listen to some of that too. let's see here. It's just, let me see here, the food, music, I just like the Haitian family upbringing, cultural. I mean, I know that's pretty broad, but I'm going to say just the style that a Haitian parent would bring you up is different. It's a little different from an American family bring up, you know what I mean? Of course, it's gonna be different, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Probably more family oriented than your typical America. You know what I mean?
I mean, it can be.
Because a lot of American families, they're usually broken, or they're usually. I mean, nobody's perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like it's usually maybe the dad's not there, the mom's not there, or they just it doesn't seem together usually.
I mean, the Haitian family's, you know, more tightly knit, you know what I'm saying, for the most part. Let me see here. I left Haiti at an early age, you know, too early to even experience life in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in Haiti for the most part consisted of, in Haiti, you know, growing up as a kid, it was just playing around and whatnot. You know, I mean, I bear witness to some things that happened in Haiti, you know what I mean, growing up. But I didn't get to really experience the culture, so to say.
Right.
On the land, so to say. You know, let's face it, you 8 years old, you know, younger than that, even growing up in Haiti. So it's like, yeah,
you don't get a real.
No, I wasn't even a teenager yet, because right. you know, because you, since you hit your teens, you know, Haiti's a whole different land. You hit your teens, you out there.
Yeah.
You out there. You might be out there trying to make a living to help. You know, what I mean, the home. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, that's what it's gonna be, or helping a home to make a living. You know, so. 12 years old, you know, 10 years old, you
out there working.
Yeah, you working, you know, you get, but also there's education. The education is different too in Haiti. Mm. That I know. So I mean, I did have some education in Haiti, you know, where it's more or less on a memory-based education, where you're trained to memorize answers and responses, you know, mm-hmm. to these things, trained to do math differently. You know, they do math. I don't ask me how it's done now.
Right, whole different world now.
But yeah, you know, the math is done differently, and it's more of a memory based training rather than constant paper and pen type deal.
Right.
In some sense, though, like America is like that too. Yeah. Except we use more paper and pencil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about that before. Sorry to interrupt, but I was like, that kind of sounds familiar to American.
Yeah.
Education. Yeah.
Have you been back to Haiti?
I was gonna ask since that you left, too.
Absolutely not, man.
No,
that's I something I regret not having gone back. You know, even at this age. But nevertheless, you know, it's not out of sight,
right?
You know, Haiti's had its issues politically and, you know, I mean, socially. So
and environmentally.
Yeah, environmentally.
Yeah.
But you know, if I had went back, the environmental part wouldn't really affect me like that, because I wouldn't be, you know, my parents are well-to-do in Haiti. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They have a home in Haiti and stuff like that. They have constant running of electricity and whatnot, by means of a generator, other mm-hmm. than, you know, the electric they might get from the city or whatever they get it from.
Right.
So, yeah, I would be experiencing Haiti to its fullest.
Okay.
You know, I probably wouldn't really get, I can't say to its fullest, because I wouldn't be getting down with the, you know, in the nitty gritty of things, because Haiti has its, you know, it's in, like anywhere else, it's got its slums.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got its elite area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be in the elite, I'm going to tell you right now. My parents are not in the elite.
Right.
We would not be in the slums either.
Right. Just middle class.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I
mean, I know they got a lot going on right now, so. I mean, of course, with COVID and stuff now, it'd be hard to travel. I mean,
it's definitely been a challenge. Going back to and from Haiti has been, over the past decade, been a challenge, because, you know, security issues, political issues, things of that nature. So, you know, at times where it could have been possible for me to go, it could have been, you know, I mean, some political turmoil going on that made it not ideal to be visiting, you know, the homeland.
Right.
So therefore, you know, it's things like that have gotten in, you know, in a way, and then life took place.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
life
right,
happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So man. You know, once life happened, life was king and just kind of reigned for a bit.
Life don't pause for you.
Nah, it does not.
That's for sure.
It did not pause for me. Take a 5-week vacation to Haiti. It did not. So, but nevertheless, it's something I'm, you know, looking forward to still, to go and experience Haiti. You know, experience the culture on the land itself.
Now, do you plan on? Do you plan on, like, your first trip, you know, now, wife of 5 years, do you plan on just taking your wife the first time and then taking the kids so they can experience their culture, their background?
Well, believe it or not, the kids are on course to take a trip to Haiti, possibly. I'm thinking my parents had called me and expressed their interest in taking the grandkids to Haiti. I believe this year, if I'm not mistaken. I got to check on that. So, which means I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. You're a busy man.
Tell me about it. So, nevertheless, the kids will more or less get to experience Haiti prior to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife. You know, I do want to go, but it's not going to happen this year probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not with the 5-year anniversary coming up. That's
just too much. I mean, unless...
Here's the challenging part. The wifey does not fly.
Yeah.
She's like a beautiful bird with limited wings.
But I'm not saying that this is in anywhere your plans, but if that was your plan, you just got to convince her that a boat would be even worse than flying. And then you might have a chance.
Yeah, so I got to paint a morbid picture, huh?
Yeah. Of sea travel? Yeah.
Yeah, boat travel is out of the question. Cause one, I don't know how long it would take to get there. Probably take darn near a week to get there.
It would not be fun.
It would take several days to get there. And Florida. You know, the ocean sickness. Yeah. I think.
Sharks.
See that? I'm trying to steer away from such graphic talk.
Yeah, I'm just sharks. They out there. They in the field.
Yeah, they are in the field and they hungry. So like dark meat. But yeah, I think she could probably easier handle flying than a boat trip that's extended over days.
Yeah.
I think myself as well. I would not want to be on a boat for days. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I don't care how nice of an ocean liner it is, you know, how, you know, you feel minimal bumps, you can feel them waves.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Nope.
So not even like a cruise line, you want to go on a cruise?
Well, I don't know. If it just stays docked, I'll get on there if it just stays docked.
Yeah.
Like, don't you go out into that ocean now. You know what I'm saying?
A cruise that never leaves shore.
Right, right.
Yeah. We're just going to wild out on the ship right here on the dock. Right, you know, on the dock.
Now, to the, you know, the stigma of black people not being able to swim. Could you swim, my brother?
Like a rock.
That's scary. I understand.
I got my little experience in swimming. I'm no Michael. What's his name? Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
I'm no Michael Phelps by any means. Mm-hmm. I get in there and flop like a sea turtle. Not even as gracefully as a sea turtle. Because sea turtles, they're very graceful in it.
They are.
But yeah, it'd be something to see.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to go past that. I just had to ask because I could swim a little bit. I could float.
Yeah.
My legs are all crazy when I'm swimming, but I can float.
I can get by a little bit.
Like when I'm trying to swim, like Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
It doesn't end up being as graceful like Michael Phelps. You know what I mean? My legs, they do like, they break dancing in the water, but I'm moving. It's just crazy. Like I had to practice.
Okay. It's popping, locking in the water.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently.
All
right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't try to get off your whole Haitian culture.
No, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good. This is what we're doing right here. You know what I'm saying?
Lost in translation, baby.
We get lost in this translation.
It's in the interview.
Yeah.
It's in the interview.
It's not. We just chopping it up, man. I just wanted to know a few things.
But no, last but not least, you know, you asked for five, and I got you five, my brother. So far, I done gave you, well, anyway, we're not going to go through the list.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The fifth thing shall be the language. I love the language.
And okay. Is that
French?
Is it
Patois or is it Haitian? Like it's definitely its own, like.
It's the Haitian, the official Haitian Creole itself, officially on the land, it's French is what's acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
But you go anyway, Haiti, as far as patois, I guess you could say it's kind of more closer to patois.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's more or less related
okay.
to as patois. But it's Creole. Creole is what it's known as. And it's just, you know, it's just a very smooth language. I love it. Because, you know, you could take words, like me knowing how to speak Creole, I can take words from two other languages and kind of understand that meaning because of my, you know, ability to speak Creole and understand Creole.
Mm. Right.
So, right. Like, I'm basically, specifically Spanish. Spanish.
Spanish.
Right. Spanish and French, more specifically. So, those two, I don't speak French. I can understand some French.
Mm-hmm.
My French, you know, only, you know, it's very limited. You know, I might say, let me see here, what French do I know? Goodness gracious.
Oui,
monsieur. Yeah, merci beaucoup. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ain't that, thank you very much.
Yeah, merci beaucoup. Thank you very, very much. You know, voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
C'est soir.
You know what I'm saying? That's the, you know that was coming. Mm-hmm. That's the extent of my knowledge in French.
Voulez-vous?
Spanish, I know more Spanish than I do French.
Okay.
Yeah, I've taken a couple of Spanish courses. I've lost some of it, but I know some Spanish.
You had it.
I had it.
Right. That's what counts.
I like Spanish, you know what I mean? And I probably would get back to learning it again. Won't be too hard.
I like Spanish as well. is I'm just calling it Spanish now because that's what it sounds like Rich saying.
I like Spanish too.
This is a dope ass language. And French, like I took both throughout my high school / middle school time, and I don't know it. Like I don't speak it fluently, but
yeah, French.
There's some words that I could pick up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I watch like Scarface and shit, so like I can speak a little Spanish to like to like understand some. But sometimes they be like talking real fast. You know when they get into it, you like, all right, I ain't understand.
Yeah, they lost you.
Two words of that.
Yeah, then you got proper, and then you have like the slang, of course, and you gotta kind of understand there. But that's what's up, man. Like, that's a good five. George wouldn't gave me five. He would only gave me two.
Probably.
Yeah,
two and a half.
Hey,
not good with numbers.
Right.
I mean, he's not good with numbers.
And timing involves numbers, and you're not good with time as well. That makes sense.
Oh my!
That equal that comes.
It all comes together.
This is getting deep.
Nah, it ain't that deep. We talk about it all the time, man.
You want to pull out the couch and just, you know, have a session?
Man, that's dope. Yeah, man, that like patience as far as, you know what I mean, your country. Do they? Is democracy over there?
Right? Not necessarily democracy over there. It's oh gosh. As far as the political party itself, bro, don't get me lying. I want to say it's more of a. I want to say communism. You know, honestly.
It's okay, we can look it up. We can look it up. We got resources for that, Rich.
Darn Skippy. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
What's that thing called? Wikipedia. What's Wikipedia when you need it? But yeah, as far as the what is the what you call it?
Political.
I spelled Haiti wrong.
No, it's you there. You, oh well, Hattie.
Hattie.
Yeah, what's Hattie?
Hattie.
Is that a food?
Isn't that it?
Hattie. Well, my wife's uncle's wife name is Hattie.
Hey,
there we go. I was Wikipedia just trying to look into that. That's all.
Yeah.
That is it. I ain't trying to get too deep to it, but like I knew the controversy that's going on. I mean, I think we discussed it a little bit.
We got the resources. We got to look at the resources.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
That's all I'm
George
saying.
George is like, yo, we ain't got this set up for nothing. Hey, government.
So, it's a semi-presidential republic.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Yeah, so it's different.
Yeah, that is different. You know, but they do have a president.
They do have a president.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, well, I mean, you know the president got assassinated last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like early last year.
He got straight up murked. Right? Yeah. They ran up like, in his crib.
Word. Like some old, like LA style, you know what I mean? Type deal. it was crazy the way thing happened. I believe it was an inside job. I mean, I never followed up with it. But.
Right. And you, and like, none of your immediate family was over there during that time, right?
No, thank God, no.
Yeah, because that was wild, man.
Yeah, that was my mom had been back from Haiti. I guess she had came back from Haiti. It was just a few months before that took place, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, she made it back in time.
Yeah, she made it back. She had several months before that happened when she made it back. And just, you know what I mean, and stayed. Because, like I said, they got property in Haiti, so they go to Haiti and stay for, you know, extended periods of time.
No doubt. Yeah, because, like, man, speaking of Wyclef, wasn't he supposed to, like, run for president at one point in his...
He was. There was a profound interest. I'd say more so in the people.
Okay.
For him to run for president. Wyclef,
yeah,
he probably got... I mean, yeah, his heart is there. Don't get me wrong. His heart is there for the land. He loves his country and wants to do anything and everything for his country. But it probably wouldn't have been good for him to get into the political aspect of it.
Yeah.
One, because of his popularity. Yeah. However, we did get a musician in the presidential seat. You know,
okay.
If y'all didn't know it.
I didn't know that.
One of my
favorite Haitian musicians got in the presidential seat. Yeah, Michel Martelly. You know, this guy's got decades of music under his belt. And dude, this dude was a Haitian rock star.
Okay.
To put it in the aspect of what y'all would understand, he was a Haitian rock star.
Okay.
And he ended up getting a political seat. Matter of fact, he was the last president that got... that stepped down before this last one came on and got assassinated. So he was just recent that he stepped down. But yeah, he didn't step down, but his term ended.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So he went full term and yo, the public loved it. I didn't even live in Haiti and it had nothing to do with Haiti other than the simple fact that I'm Haitian, born in Haitian. You know, I loved the whole idea that Michel Martelly was the president.
Y'all was hype off that. Yeah.
It's like, you know, can you imagine one of your rock stars here in the States, because, you know, gaining the political seat? I mean, we came close. We got Trump. We came close.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we had a celebrity.
So, but he definitely was a celebrity status that gained a political seat. You know,
and
so,
like, in one sense, like, rappers before his presidential run, like, all they would talk about is Trump. You hear a lot of rappers would say about, you know what I mean, getting money like Trump, doing this like Trump. You know what I mean? It was like heavily involved in
his name,
rap.
His name is deep in the...
Yeah, he was in the party, at the parties and everything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Trump, I mean, he is a staple. I mean, more so now for the Republican Party or those of, you know...
Conservative
nature. Thank you. That's perfect. You know what I mean? So, like... But at one, he's pretty much, he was a rock star. I mean, just, they said when you went to his rallies, it was like a fucking...
It was a concert.
Yeah, it was like a rock concert, but like, they were like going crazy for this man. So yeah, that was actually pretty close. I don't know how it was for the Haitian people, but it sounds like...
Yeah, no, it was kinda close. It was, I want to say more or less, it was a fun moment for the country of Haiti, you know? And I'm not gonna say fun to the point where this guy wasn't doing his job; he was just partying in the country. No, it was fun because I think the political turmoil that was happening the years prior to his establishment, to his acquiring a seat, they didn't have that political turmoil going on anymore. Mm. Everything kind of ceased for a moment. It's kind of like he took the seat and everything quelled, and there was peace for. I don't know, I think his term was maybe 4 years. Wow. You know, I'm not sure. But there was peace for that moment in time. There was not a whole lot. Yeah, there was still this underlining stuff going on with the gangs and stuff. It was still going down. But it wasn't in the news like that.
Right.
Man, every other president, though, could Google Mooga.
Different story.
Yeah, if ain't the president, it's a daggone Mother Nature. Mm. Sock it to me to that country. It was that country's been through a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I've been very fortunate to have been brought here to the States, because you know what, you know, with this shape that Haiti is in, growing up in Haiti, I could have been dead by this point. You know what I mean? Mm. Honestly, you know, dead or in jail, locked up. You know, I've watched documentary on the Haitian prison system, and it's not pretty at all. Mm. You know, it's, you think about like a more or less like a third world country type deal. You know what I mean? The Haitian prison environment. It's not the most sanitary. It's not the most, how can I put it? It's not the most ethical when it comes to human care, things of that nature. You know what I mean? It's you're in prison. You're treated like a dog in there.
True.
So, I mean, I could have ended up there. Who knows? Or I could have been, you know, I could have became a great doctor in Haiti. I don't know.
Never know, man.
I don't know. But,
God had another plan for you.
God apparently had another plan, man. So I ended up in the States and gain my life, education, and family here in the States.
Yeah,
I don't even really know my extended family in Haiti like that. Wow. My cousins and aunts. I mean, I've spoken to some, you know, over the phone over the past several years. Last time I spoke to a cousin in Haiti or something like that, probably was over a year ago. Spoke to somebody in Haiti. But, you know, the connection is just not there.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Me not having stepped foot in Haiti and
right,
decades.
Right,
I don't want to, you know,
disclosure.
Yeah, disclose my age.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been a minute.
You ain't that old, man. Stop playing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm a.
You're an OG, but you ain't old.
Yeah, I'm an OG with OG tendencies.
Right.
That's all I can say.
Right. Shit, man.
You got something I can put this in?
Damn, probably like.
It's all good.
Downstairs. I'm about to say, you can just hit that joint. I got something, and George don't drink.
Bathroom break.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, man, like, I mean, we ain't got to, you know, talk about Haiti the whole time.
No, let's not. Let's talk about...
Look, what's going on in the world, George?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on in the world, bro?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Yo. In the world? I have no clue.
Yeah. Everything's going on in the world.
Yeah, it's a lot of bullshit. Y'all think this, like, COVID shit is over? I mean, yes, COVID is still around.
Nah, I mean, not in Canada. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I heard it got
things
a lot.
Have gotten crazy in Canada.
Canada is quickly becoming like a... What's the right words to use here?
Like New York, like when it happened in New York?
I was gonna say like a snapshot for the world, or like a preview for the world as to like what can happen with the government trying to overstep its bounds.
Really?
Because you got these people trying to protest these mandates for the vaccine. And they've been met with nothing but opposition, of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's gotten a little ugly over there. I haven't really.
I haven't heard of anything getting too ugly.
I mean, there was.
Canadians is nice. Just within the past couple of days, something about people getting trampled by horses.
Oh my!
But they're starting to bring police force into the country. Damn. I don't have credible sources, but I've seen stuff about like possible foreign bodies coming in as a police force against
these protesters.
Paramilitary.
Again, I don't have a credible source, but it was trying to hint at like the UN bringing over foreign military people as like a backup to the Canadian police.
I mean,
it's like these people are just protesting peacefully. Everything I've seen, there hasn't been any violence. They're
protesting against mandates of having to take, like, much like over here, where many people are being forced to take the vaccine if they want to continue their employment.
Correct.
Places, so
correct.
Protesting and against it's, that.
They're protesting against that. It was started, as far as I know, where the focus of this that's happening right now is truckers. They're protesting it, and they're the main backing of this.
Canadian truckers?
At least to start, yeah.
Okay.
And again, this is us. So I don't have all the facts and everything, but I guess it was because with the mandate, it's a requirement to go like back and forth across the border. So like all these truckers that are doing deliveries like to America.
Okay, I see.
To come back over the border, they would need to be vaccinated. Like to come into Canada. I guess what they're trying to do with the mandate is to come into Canada, you have to be vaccinated. And that's what they're trying to protest.
Wow.
So, just quick, I don't know how reliable it is, but I was listening to Flagrant 2, and they had two guys on there that are from Canada, and they were kind of talking about it. Like, the whole problem was when you're a trucker, and it's easy to go back and forth across the border as far as, like, receiving shipments and dropping shipments off, whatever the case may be. They had to come back and they had to quarantine for 14 days. And that's becoming a problem. That's a lot of money that's not being made.
Yeah, that's being put on hold 2 weeks every time.
Yeah, right. It's not moving.
But what one of the guys said was that 90% of the truckers are already vaccinated. But I think the whole problem, if I heard it right, I was kind of in and out. So, you know, we don't know shit about it. But he said that 90% of them are vaccinated, but the problem is the 14-day quarantine that they have to do when they go across the borders, which is kind of insane, on top of the mandate that
That might be part of the mandate.
It has to be. So, like, you think about Canada, I mean, we talked about it, about the free healthcare. And I was saying, like, there's some understanding of the free healthcare to where, like, they might run out of the funds. They got the universal healthcare, excuse me. And they might run out of funds and people getting sick constantly. And they're just afraid that once one person get it, they kind of like China. I think China doing that shit, like they be shutting down the whole.
I mean, I can kind of understand the trying to explain it with logic and medical thought. But I don't think that's what it's about.
It might not be. No.
I mean, call me conspiracy theorist, but. It just everything about COVID and the way that all these governments are handling it, it's just, it's not about the sickness itself.
No.
I mean, I personally think, like you said, George, the way it's being handled is unprecedented, for one. You know, I mean, you're forcing people to take this foreign thing into their body that is, first of all, I think it should be against... As far as human ethics is concerned, you know what I mean? You're forcing people to put foreign, you know, things in their bodies that otherwise shouldn't have to.
If you don't want it.
If you don't want it.
Right. It's the forcing part.
Yeah, it's the forcing part, I think, is where, you know, we should draw the line where it's like, I get it. Private employers, you know what I mean, want to secure their business, this, that, and the third. So you want your business to be secure. So you're thinking, you know, vaccinating employees is the best way to keep your business secure, which I get it. You know what I mean? You got a point. But at the end of the day, I think it's still somewhat a violation of some kind of the human code, you know?
Human rights, civil rights.
Where are we going with this? You know,
constitutional.
You've ever watched these futuristic movies and stuff where people have gotten things implanted in them and stuff, things like that. To me, this is kind of like the early stages of something of that sort.
Yeah.
You know, it started with this. You know what I mean? 20 years down the road, it's going to be something a little different, next level. You know what I mean? Once you actually get a chip put in you, this chip is going to tell us everything we need to know about you before you get sick, you know, or what's making you sick, and this, that, and the third. So, I mean, I just think it's a little out of hand, a little out of pocket as far as the forcing people, you know, threatening their employment. And, you know, like my wife and I, we went to New York last year. It was around October of last year. Was it New York? It was New York, like the city of New York, because we went to New York twice last year.
Okay.
The one trip we took to Niagara Falls, this was, you know, New York, Canada, you know, right there.
Big baller.
We was at the border, you know what I'm saying? We was out there, you know, Niagara Falls on a boat,
big
things of that
pockets.
Nature. And, yeah, hey, look, you got to live life.
Yeah.
And the second time we went to New York, it was New York City itself. And during that second visit to New York, it was one of the most unfun, if that is a term. We're going to make it a term
fits.
Today. That was one of the most unfun vacations we've ever taken, because New York had a mandate where you had to be vaccinated to participate in any kind of public establishment, you know, restaurants and museums, things of that nature. We couldn't even go to the Statue of Liberty. We couldn't do anything. We had to show proof of vaccination, you know what I mean, which we didn't have. So we went there, and I didn't do my research. I was thinking, you know, because, you know, with the whole COVID thing, things have been up and down. You don't know what state is on what.
Each state's different.
Yeah, each state is different. So shame on me not having to do my due diligence and really discovering that, you know, we had to be vaccinated to really do much of anything here. So nevertheless, we went, but it was a very...
Couldn't really do anything.
No,
right?
Couldn't do anything. But we still ate. Did we go to any restaurants and sat down? I don't think we did. We didn't really sat down anywhere. But nevertheless, we enjoyed the moment that we were there for, and you know, enjoy it for what it's worth. And, you know, we still ate good. You know, because we went to Manhattan. You know, Manhattan is always like, actually, we stayed in Manhattan. You know, that's where our hotel was.
Pockets.
No, man. It was just, we got lucky. You know what I'm saying? What you call it? Hotels.com.
Right.
You know, nah, wheels and deals. You just got to know where to find the deals.
Nah.
But yeah, we stayed in Manhattan. And you know, Manhattan's always live and popping. And you know, so that we got to go out into the streets of Manhattan, walk the streets a little bit. I mean, I experienced some of the food carts there in the evening and stuff, and but overall there was not a whole lot that we had a chance of experiencing in New York. You know, just kind of showed the wife around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's half of the experience, actually being able to do things, which y'all still got to do a little bit, but just being together, you know what I'm saying? That's the other half of it.
Yeah, that was really things. The most fun part of it, just being together, really.
Yeah, getting just out the of two Delaware of us.
Yeah. And we was nowhere near Delaware,
right?
You know what I'm saying? It was so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we went restaurant hopping, you know, not where we could sit in and dine in, because that wasn't happening, but we could still do takeout.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran into a lame barbecue joint called, It was lame.
Lame.
Like, they call it it was Texas Finest Barbecue or something like that, or Texas Famous Barbecue.
Let's see. That's where they messed up.
Yeah, it was whack.
I would never get barbecue.
I'm like, man, this stuff is
nope.
Yeah, dude, it was like next level Applebee's.
Yeah,
I was disappointed. I was like, I should have known better.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, this place is too big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's too big to be pumping out good food.
Yeah. When you get a small spot in New York, you know, it's jumping.
Yeah, this was like two levels, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, nah, man.
With the op in there, but you know
I went with better against better judgment and fancy it because, you know, we all about the barbecues, you know, everywhere. That was, to me, that was like the closest we're going to get to experiencing the barbecue thing while we're out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I know we can get Jamaican food, Haitian food, no problem. But, you know, the barbecue thing, we try like, squeeze that in there every, you know, yeah, when we go out.
You would think, like, with the location, as much as New York is a melting pot, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has people from different places, different countries and stuff. Mm-hmm. You think, like, you'll go somewhere and get some decent barbecue at least.
Yeah.
But when you got Texas famous barbecue, like, yeah, I'm not trusting anything with famous in the state that it's from in the state that we're not in.
That was a giveaway right there. That it was not that we no good. You know what I mean? The famous part. You're so right with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
if it ain't the same state you're in,
yeah,
it's probably a lie.
Exactly. And then Texas not going to say Texas famous. You know what I'm saying? Like, Texas just, you know what I mean? It's probably like Papa Joe's spot or something like that, like some crazy
Bubba's bone licking, you know what I'm saying?
Cactus drink or something, I don't know, some
finger
fucking
smacking.
Nah, y'all keep going.
Some hole
meat,
in the wall
succulent
spot.
Meat off the bone.
Right. I will go to a barbecue spot in Texas that has a farm where you can see the steer. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness,
I know it's jumping out there. You know what I'm saying? I know it's jumping out there. I don't care how it smell.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So, shit. But yeah, man, that mandate is so fucking weird, man.
It is. And you said Canada is going through that thing for that right about now.
Oh, Canada, it's getting real out there.
Mm.
It's getting real.
Crazy.
It's just, and it's, again, it's not about the actual virus. It's about what the government can make people do.
Or requiring people to do.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to really get into it. But
that's respectable.
That's what we do, though.
Georgie.
It is. Oh, it's, man, just, yeah, it's crazy.
Knowledge or not, we diving in. Not wrong with that.
And we don't even have to keep this in here, but where do you think most of our fucking oil comes from?
Oh, I have no clue.
So I went to Valero right here, and it's like America's own or American made. American something oil. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like,
American made oil. I mean,
that shit ain't come from America.
America's got oil.
Yeah,
I know we got it, but there's no way Valero getting that shit. Sometimes they barely got gas. So it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, what? Okay, my real question is, I got two. It's a two-parter. One, does products or certain things, when it said made in or packaged by, produced by, whatever, and it's a different country, does that bother you any? Like, does that bother y'all to make a purchase?
It's most of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're saturated with imported goods. You know, China has cornered the market in that area, and that's funny you say that because I watched a documentary recently on that and how China overtook the U.S. market and significantly implanted themselves in the U.S. economy, you know, with their products, more or less their products, not even their services, because Chinese products. Their services, I guess, Chinese food here, but that's not even Chinese.
I wouldn't consider that a part of it.
Anyway, but yeah, the Chinese, they were very, very meticulous in their thought process and in their planning. This was like a decade-long planning of how it was a documentary on Netflix, as a matter of fact. I don't know if it's the one called Broken. I think it's called Broken, where it showed you how the Chinese, they cornered the market by acquiring, you know, this production company because they're manufacturing all these plastics or whatever, so they acquired them. This, you know, they certain moves, key moves that they made to the point where, you know, like, I don't know how much, what the percentage is of the stuff coming from China, but it's like every time you turn around, you turn the back of this product, it's made in China. Damn. So they were able to really.
It's got to be a solid, like, 75% of most things you see in a day
right
are made in China.
Yeah. 75 sounds very, very realistic.
Yeah, if not more, it seems. You know what I mean? And I where we work, there are certain things that aren't like the vegetables. Mm-hmm. Certain things that I see that says like China packaged, or if they say wild caught fish and it'd be like
packaged in China.
China or something like that. You know? So
it's weird.
Yeah, we get a lot of customers that say, oh, it got something to do with China, I'm not buying it. Why do you think like people so uptight about that? It's like most of the shit you probably own. Like you probably say that and drive a Honda. You know what I'm saying? Like
made by the Japanese.
You get what I'm saying? Like the shit you probably smoke probably is packaged by China. You know what I mean? It's
right, the tobacco.
Yeah, like I don't. The Chinese government is fucked up, right? Like they just seem real fucked up to their people, not Chinese people, but the government. But I'm not going to sit here and not buy anything because it says it's made in China, because most of my life, a lot of my toys, a lot of the things that I purchased had said made in China, and I had just as fun in America. So, like, why do you think people are, like, just so uptight about it? I mean, usually it's, you know what I mean, white Americans.
I think the sentiment behind it is solid, but I just think it's too out of our control to be concerned about, I guess. Because, okay, I mean, it's like, I mean, when you're living in a country, I mean, I'd say it's probably a point of pride to want most of the stuff that you use and consume to be made there.
Yeah, very patriotic. Because,
I mean, it means you know your country is productive, it's hardworking, you can have pride in the things that you own because they were made here where you're from.
Right, and you're doing your part in seeing to the growth of your own country.
Right, which is why I think a lot of people will prefer to find American-made stuff, even though it still might be outsourced for packaging in Japan or in China.
Right, ain't that crazy?
Something like that.
It's like made in the USA but packaged in China.
Right.
So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, right. Like what can you do about that?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I understand American pride. Like, we the boys, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we have a strong military. It's something to be proud of, like, American culture in general.
Ain't there a song called Proud to Be an American?
Yes.
Sure is.
It is. I think they made us sing it in school once.
Yeah,
or twice. Was that ethical?
Probably not.
Questionable.
Yeah. America. You know what I mean?
I'm sure not every student in there was American. Hello.
Right. One nation under God. So, like, you know, that shit is, it just bothered me because, like, you have to put that there. You have to put that there to kind of persuade some of the people to buy your product or make sure, like, hey, China ain't touching this.
But honestly, should you be happy if your stuff is made in China?
I guess it depends on who you are.
And I mean, knowing that you can't do anything about it doesn't make you complain less in life.
No, I think as far as the whole American-made, type stuff, it's more limited to certain things. I think the produce sector is pretty big on that, where you got your local farmers make the stuff here in the U.S. and distribute it here in the U.S. But everything else seems like it's free game. I mean, even our own produce, you know, we get a lot of it coming from overseas.
Yeah.
But the people that are adamant about American-made products, they're probably limited to more or less the produce sector of things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of too many American. Is there what American-made? I mean, we got the American-made vehicles that we have. We got GMC.
Ford.
Chevy.
GMC, Ford, and Chevy. Just it?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, other than that, you know, you look out on the road, you know what I mean?
Chrysler?
I don't know.
Chrysler?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. They're from Detroit, unless they outsourced since they started.
Oh, man, well, balling. That game is finicky.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure them trucks got some foreign parts in them.
Exactly.
You know, so don't get it twisted.
And that's the thing. Just because it's assembled in a place.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of foreign parts in that vehicle, my friend.
Exactly.
So it's like, where's the American pride in that?
Right.
Like, it's not 100% American.
So
I think it's just knowing that it's sold by an American company.
Yeah.
And that prof, okay. that money that, is that staying. That money is
staying in a, on the land.
Right. I think it's so
the,
to speak.
I think it's the hoopla that gets me. I mean, granted, what started America was immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Nothing produced in America from the roots. I wasn't American. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know we built a culture to say American, and a lot of us now are born, and, you know, our families were born in America. It's just like, if you look at the backstory, it's just a lot of non-American things. I mean, even if you look at, you know, the slaves that built this country, that helped build this country, you look at the people that was running from the king to get over here, you know what I mean? They weren't quote unquote American. So just the foundation of America was built off immigrants and people not from here. So like the hoopla, I mean, I guess that has nothing to do with now, but the hoopla about the whole thing is just like, yo, just buy the fucking broccoli.
I mean,
like,
it's don't a have different to, world though.
It is. No, it is. It
and
is.
It's not against the Chinese people.
Yeah, no.
You know what?
It's against China as a government.
Yeah, I just thought of something. Because, you know, with the whole, like you were saying, with the hoopla, and the whole America being a melting pot type deal. Mm-hmm. You know how, like, Sweden, I can't imagine being a melting pot. Okay? I can imagine
sure.
that company, I mean, that country, that country being, have a higher percentage of genuine Sweden natives.
Right, yeah.
From a long history of, you know, the Swedish bloodline.
See that?
Where America, we kind of never really had that.
Yeah.
We did, but when we destroyed it because it was invaded by foreigners. So America was never.
The Native Americans were.
Yeah,
was it. The bloodline of America.
Per se.
Yeah. So being America never was its own country. Is that where the whole pride thing comes from? Where we're trying to establish an American bloodline where, you know, you think. I just thought about that. Like, yeah. Is that like a thought, or like a human thought where you're trying to indoctrinate like a American bloodline, so to say, where this is genuinely American, you know, for decades, hundreds of years, this is what we've done, this is what we are, this is who we are. Not necessarily the bloodline, but, you know, products, because, you know, yeah. Let's face it, America don't have a bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our bloodline is every other country that exists.
Right. I mean, and that's possible, and that's where the pride could come from. Like you said, George stated, it's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
Now we built this American culture, and there's something to be proud of. Yeah. I'm not Team China.
No, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not Team China. I mean, we're in debt to them like
boo-boos. Forever.
Yeah. There's probably no way for us to get out of that. And then there's talks of like China like just taking over us. You know what I mean? It just does conspiracy, the thoughts and the talks of China. You know,
mm-hmm.
us being the USA of China. You know what I mean? So. It's just, I know this is going to sound ignorant, because we're not small people. We're all, like, equal. But the small percentage of Delawareans, whatever you want to call us, it's like the shit that I have to hear constantly. It's like, yo, you really not going to buy this. How often are you going to find American-made broccoli if you're not doing it yourself? They already giving you the convenience to actually nourish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, like, you're just going to skip past it because it said that?
But maybe that's the heart of it. Okay. Maybe that's at the heart of it, because they know most likely they're going to have to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there's underlying guilt at the fact that they know, like, it's probably going to be what it is, because they really can't change it. And they, like you said, they can't make it themselves. So maybe it's just like an underlying, like, level of guilt and anger at that fact.
Go to therapy.
Or complain when you gotta buy the stuff.
I mean, you don't have to complain to me. I can't do nothing about it. I'm just putting the shit up. So if you need somebody,
you are a part of the process then.
I might be. I might be Team China. Low key.
Nah. You're just a part of the process that got it there for them to see.
Right. But like what you're saying is they're gonna have to complain and vent to me. Is like, go to church, go to therapy.
Right,
that's, you know, the thing. What I mean? Yeah. They might do it everywhere they go.
Yeah,
you're probably not the only one that hears it.
I can't see what they doing over there.
Right,
and you can't like I said, usually as white Americans. I mean, yeah, you can say whatever you want to me. Like, as far as like being a customer, and I can't go anywhere because I'm putting stuff out. But it's like, it's like, so what? It's like, nigga, like my family was imported goods at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he said my family was imported goods.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, that's facts.
Why are you looking at me?
Am I wrong, George?
Your lineage.
Yeah.
At like, one point was
I wasn't, but my blood was.
Right. It's right. Like importing cattle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
what I mean? So it's like, you can't talk to me about foreign products, and my family was foreign products.
America was built on foreign products.
And you know what I mean? So I don't know. But I know that's deep. And,
it's a different world
time.
Again. Though.
It's a different time.
It's a different time.
And I'm kind of getting deep on that topic, but it's just I don't like the hoopla behind this. Like, what can you do? Go make us broccoli so we can keep it in the family, I guess.
Yeah, if you don't like these China made stuff, you better start making your own.
Like, I mean, what can we do about it?
But that's the thing. When you can't do anything, all you can do is complain.
As the old saying goes, either you roll or get rolled over. So,
yes. I mean, I get it. Beggars can't be choosers, but
there's a lot still of a hell of a lot of
beggars
George.
That. What?
Go ahead. What?
There's still a hell of a lot of beggars that complain.
Yeah. I know. This was just a thought of like why people do it. I'm not going to say me bringing it up is going to stop the world from doing it, but it's not. Yeah, it's just. I always wondered, like, I don't know how much American pride that you guys have, but I can say that I'm glad and I'm proud to be in America. I'm glad to be in the States. It's a lot worse than a lot of other places.
Yeah, we're. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and we have first world problems, which is complaining about that we got broccoli from China.
Yeah,
word.
You know what I mean?
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's certain things I won't consume from China, like tilapia. I try to refrain from consuming tilapia from China.
Tilapia, is that a real
tilapia
fish?
Tilapia, period. It's, it's not a natural fish.
Yeah.
It's not, it's a
farmed it's a fish.
Man bred fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm, what's your combination is it off of? Come on, Wiki.
I don't know. Probably probably some kind of carp and something else. Probably a carp and a bass.
Tilapia is tasty as hell.
It is good.
Yeah, but it's
good.
It's nice not a natural fish. And buttery. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to find it in nature.
Nope.
Are you sure about that, George?
Positive.
I bet y'all going to have a right behind my house right now.
It's
tilapia, man.
It's tilapia right there. Like,
it might be green, but I think it's tilapia.
Let's be real. Not a lot of people like fish with bone in it. Tilapia usually don't have bone.
Yeah, it's good eating fish.
It's nice filleted.
So, you know.
The fourth most consumed fish in the United States.
No doubt. Because you know why? Because a lot of it's coming from China. And it's cheap. That's why it's, you know, high ranking and fourth most consumed. Because when you get good flavored product like that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, raising tilapia, farming tilapia is no different than us farming cattle here in the States.
Right.
You know, but you know, overseas, for whatever reason, it's popular to be farmed overseas. Like, popular, like, why are we not farming tilapia? Or are we farming it here and shipping it over there and get shipped back over here? What are we doing?
I don't know. Now, would it change for y'all if tilapia was American farmed? Like, would that change your view on tilapia?
Okay, I'll be honest. I just don't like farmed fish.
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, because farmed fish is really not good for you.
Yeah, farmed fish I like to refrain from.
It's really not good for you. What? Hold on.
Escabeche. Fresh tilapia. I love escabeche, I think.
Hold on, what's...
That's a dish. That's a Spanish dish. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking a little scrumptious right there.
Yeah, I see dishes in Spanish, Portuguese, yup.
Damn, that looking... That looking
wife's mom has made that.
Yeah?
Speaking of that, I wonder what she cooking today.
What she cooking tonight?
I might have to go holler at mother-in-law and see what she doing today.
Finger licking.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's not against anybody that do it, like, per se, but it's just like, yo, I kind of don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of people come through, and it's like they got a lot of stuff on their chest. They just want to lay it on you.
Yeah. And I do it sometimes. I do it to you. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, man, I love the ones that come through with the political baggage.
Mm.
Want to offload it on you. Like, man, dude, little did you know I really don't care. I just want you to make this sale and keep pushing.
Is this a real thing right here?
Okay.
What's that? See, it's a real fish.
It's all right.
Okay, Mythbusters. All right, George, here we go. Read that one little purple quote for me.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, all right.
No, put on the spot. It's saying it's a myth that it's man-made. All right.
It says it's from the Middle East. That's what it said?
Tilapia from the Middle East.
It said middle what?
What is from fish?
Middle East and Africa.
Yep.
Okay.
But it also did say that there's hundreds of species under the tilapia genus.
Hundreds.
So like there's hundreds of fish that are technically tilapia.
Okay, I see. So tilapia is more of a broad category.
It's like fish. It's like in the Caribbean calling fish dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say dolphin a lot, but it's not talking about the mammal.
So just talking about fish.
Yeah, the sea animal certain fish.
Okay. I mean, like, would you put like marlin in with dolphin?
I mean, I don't know the specific, bro.
I was just saying.
You said it like you knew, nigga. Dolphin fish.
What's the most exotic fish?
Maybe it is a kind of fish.
What is that?
This is why I can't.
Mai-mai? What is that?
Mai-mai is a type of fish.
All right. What's the most exotic? Y'all eat seafood, right?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Right?
What's the most exotic fish you've eaten?
Don't ask me that question because I just eat it.
You just eat it.
I think I've had mahi-mahi before, but, like, I don't know the... I don't know. It's one that I don't eat too much, so it's, like, rare for me.
Right, because it's more of, like, a tropical delicacy, like, a lot of restaurants here in America try to advertise it.
Mm-hmm. Shark. I don't think that's, like... I mean, I guess it's exotic.
I mean, for America.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people overseas they eat shark on the regular, right?
Right.
That's a staple. But I mean, also, you know, I've watched a documentary on that as well. You know what I'm saying?
Shark fishing and stuff.
When you go to these restaurants where they offer these exotic fishes, these fine fishes on these dishes and whatnot.
Of course.
Come on, God, let's be serious for a second.
All right, I'm sorry. Doc Rich is in the building.
So these fishes that they're naming may not necessarily be what you received on your plate. Like, how do you for real know this is mahi mahi? Unless you really, really know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the distinctive taste of mahi mahi.
How you know you just had glowfish? You know what I'm saying?
It's a good point. It's a good point. How do you know what you're eating?
You don't know what you're eating.
Like, have you? Is whale edible?
I don't know.
Whale?
Never eaten whale.
No, but I'm
interested.
Probably not the blubber.
No, not the blubber.
I'm just saying.
But whale sounds interesting.
But you said you eat whale blubber.
Blubber nuggets.
I'm sorry, that's from me, myself, and Irene.
One of my favorite movies. I think like places like Alaska.
Inuit people have dishes with. But I don't know what kind of whale.
Yeah. Because there's multiple, like, different types of whales.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's tons of different. I'm going to stop talking. But there's different kinds of whales.
In the corner.
Yeah, there's different kinds of whales.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Inuit people eat, like, I'm assuming it's whale. I think there's whale. There's probably seal, too. But blubber.
Yeah, the blubber. Yeah.
That's, like, a part of some of their native dishes.
Is that the Eskimos you're talking about?
Don't say Eskimos.
You can't say Eskimo.
Shouldn't, apparently.
Okay, oh, I didn't know.
I've seen varying things. I've seen varying things where Eskimos is a slur, but then I've seen like a native trying to combat that.
See,
so I say Inuit.
Inuit.
But that might be a very specific.
Isn't that a tax business?
That's Intuit.
Yeah, that was close though. Hold on, wait a minute.
It made you think.
See, I don't know either. Yeah.
I'm not coming at you.
I apologize if it is, but I will continue to use it until an Inuit Eskimo person tells me otherwise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to remember the Inuit part.
Yeah, because when you said it, I was like, is that Hawaiian? And
like,
I was
like
hold
I said,
on, wait
I don't
a second.
Know. That might just be a specific group.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't know what you call. Them as a whole.
Yeah.
Eskimos.
Hey, man. I'm sticking with it.
And again, Eskimos might be for a specific group.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Back in their homeland, what do you think they call them? The Momos?
The Momos.
The Eskies.
What up, my Momo? What up? So, like, for some reason, my first thought went to, like, sperm whale. Like,
okay.
And then the big, the I can't give you.
No homo.
Why, why is sperm the first thing came to your mind?
Like, why is sperm the before the blue one, whale? Right?
Blue whales.
The blue whale. Oh, what is a sperm whale then?
Blue whales might not be the biggest. I don't know. They're a type of whale.
A sperm whale.
They're the all white ones. Where do you think they got their name from?
I'm just mad that you said it because it seemed like you was trying to be funny, but you was serious.
No,
you
was
dead ass.
No, I'm just never mind.
Yeah,
like, that's a question for the subject.
No, because I was sitting there thinking like that's what I thought they were, but I guess the big blue whale.
The big blue whale.
The big blue whale. It's already
called,
big.
It's called a blue whale.
I was thinking a bear in a big
is
blue
that
house.
The biggest whale?
Sperm whale.
That's
okay.
That's not the biggest whale.
That's Moby Dick, right?
Great. No, sperm whale.
That's Moby. I don't know.
That's just great, Jackson. You shoot for 10.
Look. It was right there.
Where?
It said Moby Dick sperm whale.
Okay.
It looks like a sperm whale.
Boom.
Moby Dick was a sperm whale.
I never read that book.
Me neither.
I never read it. Huh. I don't even know how good it is.
Never read.
Yeah,
it.
It's probably.
I haven't read
either.
A lot of the classics.
Didn't Moby Dick swallow some people or something?
No, that was
Jaws.
No,
no.
In the Bible. In the Bible.
That was right. That whale. Right.
Okay.
Blue whales.
So
are
that's
the
a blue
whale.
Blue whales are bigger than anything else.
Yeah. Look at that comparison.
Look at this picture.
Look at that.
Largest that whale is the blue whale. Damn. Then you got what does that say? I can't read that.
Finback.
Finback. Sperm. Whale. Sperm whales are pretty big.
Uh huh.
What kind of whale is
but
that?
But a blue whale is what about 70 to 90 feet long.
That's insane.
That's a big ass whale.
Yeah.
I think that's longer than my house.
It definitely is, bro. I think a whole whale like fit the front yard.
Yeah.
I can see it.
That's insane, man.
That's like, terrible.
I just want to know if anybody had ever eaten it. I didn't know if y'all have. Y'all been around the world or not. Yeah.
No, but I'm intrigued enough to try it. You know what I'm saying? It's certain seafood meats that I definitely probably would not really want to try. Like
what? Like what?
Octopus.
Puffer fish.
Oh, well, come on. Don't
octopus.
Be like that.
I've had octopus. I think, I don't know, certain seafoods just don't look all that delicate.
What you thinking?
Hold on. I've seen some TikTok videos
look good.
That some stuff looking crazy. Ooh.
Look at that bit. Look at that fillet.
Wow, it looks. Why it looks so red? It is a mammal.
Yeah.
It is a mammal because hey, that's some red meat.
Tell me you ain't eat no whale steak.
Mainly Iceland, Japan, and Norway. Big whale eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's one sea creature you wouldn't eat? I mean, one that you would. Not like
I don't know the funky, disgusting looking ones they be having on TikTok. That just you know what I'm saying, the ones that still be alive when they pour the vinegar on it or something. Mm-hmm. It come alive when you pour the vinegar on it.
Yeah, it makes all the muscles flex and it looks like it's moving.
I can't do it.
Yeah, now that's not cool with me.
Mukbang, oh man,
they be having a mukbang.
They be tossing
on.
That up.
They be going in too. I don't see how they do it.
Like just a tentacle, like, but seeing that it's cooked. Cause like I've seen some good looking octopus where it's like still most of the octopus, but it's like obviously cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Not like what you're talking about where it really doesn't look cooked at all and
no,
it's moving.
Not at all.
Yeah, nah, I'm not about that. But
like, what's one that they say? Is it the sea urchin or no? The puffer fish? No, what is it? They be selling at Japanese restaurants. Got to cook it right or it makes you
sick.
Yeah,
it's puffer fish.
Is it puffer fish?
Yeah.
I would want to try that.
Cook it right or it makes you sick.
Nah, not sick. It'll kill you.
It would kill you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a risky
but,
meal.
Yeah, but it's something so simple like a poke. I heard the poke, right?
Heard of it. What is it again?
It's vegetation. It's like produce. So it's like this, I don't know if it's a weed or something like that, but.
Yeah, I know poke.
Like poke salad.
The poke weed.
Yeah, poke salad.
Well, I've heard of poke tea.
Okay, so that can kill you,
right?
If you don't clean it,
lots of
right.
plants can kill you.
Yeah, that's true. But there's one that like Southern people
enjoy
getting in, and it's called poke salad.
Pause.
Okay, I mean, we said Moby Dick and sperm whales. I think Rich the only one that said pause out of this. And
yeah, I'm just saying, I was like,
you talking about them getting it in with something poke?
Is that pause though? Because anybody can get it.
No, wait, hold up. Pause. Time out.
You see the alley? You see the alley?
I was trying to lead you up to it.
I gave you the alley. But yeah, poke salad is really good. That's one meal that could actually take you out. That's what I hear. I'm not a poke enthusiast, but
I mean,
like,
people got a fascination with trying to eat things that can kill them.
Maybe it's a rush.
Probably.
Like people doing the whole choking thing.
And it's like the, because most things like that are, I mean, I guess not the poke, but marketed as like a delicacy because of the danger.
Yeah. Might be a like last day.
Puffer fish is more a delicacy. Because you have to have the right chef that knows how to prepare it.
And before you get it, do you have to sign something like, yo, we not responsible, are you dying? Like,
maybe.
If you eat in my restaurant, you do.
Right. I mean, probably if you go to a place that knows it's got the right chef.
Yeah.
Probably not.
That's a big gamble.
But like somewhere that doesn't trust their chef. Right. They might be like, nah, you got to sign this paper just so we're not liable.
I wouldn't even put it on. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even be like, nah, we not cooking.
That's a
that
secret
shit.
Menu item.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I think, what show was that on? I think it was like The League. I don't know if you remember that episode. But yeah, man, it was crazy because he got real sick off of that shit. Mm. And he was real sketchy about, a white Japanese chef. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fair.
Yeah, because he looked white, but I think he was in the culture somehow or something like that, and he discriminated against him. Yeah, so like, and he loved the restaurant, but he just didn't trust him. And it was a whole thing, bro. It was funny. But yeah, I don't know too many sea creatures I wouldn't eat because I'm not privy to the whole.
You said you wouldn't eat.
You guys ever had conch?
Pause.
Nah, it wasn't close enough.
Close enough for me. Nah.
Right? Nah, I haven't tried it. I don't think.
Oh man, it's a delicacy.
Maybe.
It's a delicacy. It's you don't want it to be chewy. You ever get a moment? It's a little pricey.
Is it close to scallops? I think I've heard that.
But more chewy. Okay. Much more chewy than scallops. Either way, it's got a very good. As far as the flavor, how can I describe it? It's
it looks like you tasted it right now.
It's buttery and flaky. That's how I'm gonna describe everything.
Okay.
Tilapia.
It's buttery and flaky.
Sound like a biscuit to me. Chicken.
That buttery, flaky chicken.
What can I say? I'm a simple man, but I know my palate.
Right, yeah. Which you two, I like y'all palate. And the way y'all describe food, I'm actually kind of jealous. I just be like, yo, that shit was bomb. You know what I'm saying? The way George be breaking down stuff, like, he get into it, too. Don't let him fool you. He get into it, and I'll be like, yo.
Yeah.
You make that shit sound so fucking good.
I mean, sometimes you can pick out the different spices and textures and this and that. And
like, I'm jealous of y'all, envious how y'all can break it down, because y'all vocabulary is...
Yeah, but you got it. It's just, you don't got the words for it.
Yeah, I don't.
That's all.
The palate is there.
But the experience, the knowledge is there.
Yeah, it's like, I'm down. You know, I'm a foodie as well. And
yeah.
I'm down to try anything. I just can't explain it to you the way you guys do. I can like, yo, it tastes like chicken. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? In layman's terms, it sounds like chicken. I mean, it tastes like chicken. It sounds like it, too. You know what I mean?
It might be chicken.
As soon as it hit the grill, it's like, oh, you know what
that's only, what out there tastes like chicken? Is it rabbit?
I've heard almost everything. No, rabbit definitely don't.
Nah, rabbit don't taste like chicken.
There's something out there.
Alligator? I've heard alligator.
Gator? Yeah, gator does taste like chicken.
I've had gator before. I don't remember too much of a chickeny flavor, but the texture is
maybe
there.
Maybe because
a few of these things that I've eaten that are on the exotic side have been like fair vendor type things. So like...
It's not great.
Yeah, it's not a good experience to like really be able to accurately.
Well, describe fair vendor. What do you mean by fair vendor?
Like the state fair?
Okay.
Gator. I tried gator at the state fair. Like, is that probably the best place to try a food like that?
Man, you don't carry your butt down to Atlanta somewhere?
I'd love to, man.
Down the south somewhere?
I'd love to.
That's where you get the better experience. Or, you know what I mean, anywhere but the fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, but you would think like they would bring some a little authentic to like a little town.
I mean, they might prepare it, but I just don't think it's a good way to experience.
Yeah, the fare is too locally homey to have something like that. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Foods like that are just a gimmick for them. They're not really.
It's like we can give you almost of what it tastes like, but it's not the experience that we've had.
No, like they wouldn't have nothing like that. I wouldn't bother with that.
What certain places you've been to, Rich? I mean, it sounds like you've been all around the U.S.
I mean,
how far have you went west?
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Worldwide. Not at all. Rich. That's the farthest west I've been.
It's a 305.
Y'all great. I don't know. The farthest west I've been is, I just had to say Georgia.
The farthest west?
Well, no. I'm sorry. Tennessee.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of about the same west. Right?
Tennessee's south, isn't it?
I've
been West Tennessee.
So you've been on the other side of the West.
No, yeah, but, the other side of the West.
Right. Texas is like Southwest, so that's more West.
Texas, yeah, definitely Southwest.
I don't know what about this is so Georgia funny, but I'm dying. Cracking up.
Yeah, like
I'm cracking up.
Oh, get it. But yeah, man. Like,
yeah, no, I would think Georgia is more. I would consider that more south.
South, yeah.
Just at like regional identities.
You're right. Yeah, it's definitely more southern. And we went to Tennessee, which is still within the southern local range area.
Yeah.
But I've never been in the West. I have interest in going to the West, like Cali.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't mind going to California, but
you're taking a trip.
Honestly, I mean, the interest is there, but it's not like strong enough to really. It's not compelling enough to really
act on it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather go to Texas.
Yeah.
For real.
Hell yeah.
Texas is vast.
Yeah, I got some family in Texas.
Word.
Yeah, I heard it's the shit.
You might have to connect.
I might have to.
Might need
we
to. Got, connect,
I think
bro.
We might have a spot to stay if we go.
Yeah. Better do it before the baby get here.
I mean, I could do it after the baby gets.
Yeah, right.
I just leave Amber.
Take the baby.
Take the baby.
Take them both.
Take the baby and run.
Right.
Nah. Take them both.
I could just leave it as here. And
George,
then I go.
George, like, no, we're not trying to start any problems.
Encouraging that.
All right, take both.
But I am like trying to go. Like, yeah, I won't be able to do those certain things with the baby if I do take the baby, mm-hmm. or we do.
Your experience will be limited.
Yeah, but there's also, I got a lot of aunts and uncles for the baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody loves babies.
Right. That can watch the baby or the child when they become a child.
They ain't seen you in decades, so you brought a gift.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Brought a baby.
So I could probably step up. There's been a lot of times where my mom would take us somewhere, but she out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I could do the same thing. Not all the time. But sometimes, you know, I don't think my life has to stop completely. It's definitely hit the brakes.
Oh, it's going to be on pause for a minute.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. You're
I think like the first 3-4 years is like.
Yeah, it's going to be a solid pause. A good pause. First 3 or 4 years. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What should I expect being a father?
I mean, okay. I'll put it to you like this. All right. It's like this. Unless you have. Man, we will really switch it up. Unless we have, coming from a man experience, you know, I have 3 kids.
Uh-huh.
My oldest is 20 years old.
Kind of disclose your age, bro.
God dang.
Not necessarily.
Hey, yo, I was a wild boy.
You could, right.
12 years old.
You could have been 30. You could have been 30. You could have been 15.
That's true.
If I just said my oldest boy is 20 years old.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's true though. It's true.
You could have been 30.
Yeah. Could have been 30.
You could have been 15.
Yep. You could.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense.
That sounds great.
That's a young age.
But here it is.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have an enthusiastic extended family that is there with you and willing to take that child in any given moment and for an extended period of times. Unless you have that, you're bound for several years.
Mm.
You know, your experience in life is going to be limited. Yeah, you can go out and do things as a couple with the baby, but nevertheless, with limitations. you're not going to Ocean City as a couple. You're not getting on any rides. Well, you can single, you know, individually, you'll get on. You can get on rides.
Right, yeah. Right. But if you got that baby with you,
yeah, you got a baby with you. That's what I'm saying. You got a baby with you. It's gonna be individual experiences. Individual experiences at the same, not even at the same time. It's like, anyway, yeah. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But to say, because the big difference is, the huge difference is being able to go somewhere. And okay, let's say you go somewhere, several states across, you go visit several states somewhere else, mm-hmm. and be able to do as you will freely, come as you go, you know what I mean? You just pick up and go. Like, you, when you're ready to go, if you know, you got a hotel room, so to say, let's say you got a hotel Airbnb, you know what I mean? If you decide to get up 8 a.m. and go, you do that. If you decide to get up noon and go, you do that.
Right.
You decide to get up 4 p.m. and go, you do that. But when you got a baby, you're limited because you got to, like, kind of plan your stuff around the schedule of the baby, so to say. And you can't go visiting the most prestigious uppity restaurants with a daggone baby's baby.
That's not frowned upon.
I don't honestly, I'll be honest. It's either I have not noticed, but I don't think I've ever noticed anybody, any of these fine establishments that I've fancied with a little baby car seat, little baby carrier. Mm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you go somewhere where if you're paying more than $25 a platter, car seats are not allowed in that establishment.
Right, yeah, that's
they ain't got, high chairs, they ain't got no booster seats.
Yeah. Nah, the high chairs is for the plates.
Don't have a kid with you.
Yeah, nah. That makes sense because it's a dining experience. So yeah. You don't want that to be disrupted by
a crying baby or battling baby or anything like that.
Or a toddler.
So, but yeah, basically, you're going to be limited. So, you know, your experiences. But that's basically what I'm saying to you is, if you have the family that's there that are loving enough and caring enough to want to be a part of the baby's life, mm-hmm. please allow them. Allow them to be a part of that baby's life to the fullest, because that will still allow you, the opportunity to...
Some freedoms.
Yeah, to have much more freedom.
Okay.
As opposed to having a child that's spoiled and bound to his mommy and daddy and mm-hmm. not used to the extended family. I'm talking from experience now.
Yeah.
And where you're limited to what you can do because, you know, your extended family is not there for you, mm. you know, and you stuck with babies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You taking notes?
mental.
Yeah.
Mental notes. I mean, and that's...
Mom, cousin, you know what I mean? Grandma, mom, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anybody who's readily want to be a part of that baby's life. Allow them to be a part of that baby's life freely and openly, because that's the only way you'll get that baby accustomed to that family to the point where you can leave and be comfortable knowing that family knows the baby to be, knows the family, and everything is kosher. Otherwise, you know, you'll be able to go for just, you know, 4 hours, come back.
Right, yeah. I get that. I get that, man. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, my family's, we're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we'll have a couple people, probably not like a whole week, but you know what I mean, maybe a few days.
A day, an evening or two.
Yeah, like it's definitely an evening. But like if we wanted to go somewhere for a weekend, I think we have that.
Yeah, once the baby gets to that age.
Yeah,
point.
To the age. Yeah, that they can talk, because I don't want to just leave my infant.
I'm talking about once the baby gets to about 3 years old even.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? If you want to go away for like a week.
I want my baby to be able to talk to me, to tell me what's going on. Just in case, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, like, I trust my family.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just shit, just iffy. Like, I think right now I would be afraid. I don't even have my child yet. You know what I mean? Per se. I'd be afraid to just leave my child. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing. That's real talk right there. You speaking from a fatherly standpoint. Not even yet a father.
You are
a father in a sense.
But my baby's physically not here, in my arms.
You have to provide physical protection.
Yeah.
You do still have to provide physical protection because, you know what I mean? It's,
of course.
You know what I mean?
It's brewing.
It's brewing.
Yeah, it's baking.
Yeah, as far as the whole feeling of leaving your child with anybody, it's not an easy thing to do because, you know, it's a lot of weird things going on out there in the world. A lot of weird things happen. So you don't want to just leave your child with anybody because mm-hmm. things happen. You know what I mean? But more importantly, know your family. Know who your baby is amongst.
Yep.
And that's the best thing I could tell you. Some but I know when I had my kids, you know, I as far as daycare, we did not take them to daycare or leave them at daycare. It was pretty much home daycare, you know, because we didn't trust daycares. You know, people, you know, abusing, smacking babies or anything, abusing, beating babies, whatever.
Yep.
You know, you got the older kids just picking on your little 2-year-old tot. You know, you got the 4-year-old that's just bashing the crap out of your little 2-year-old tot. I've
seen too many videos,
and
man.
The 2-year-old might not be able to talk yet or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Bruised up, come home bruised up. Yeah. I gotta snap on the people. Like, it's just too much. But Uncle George, he don't do nothing. So Uncle George, man, I trust George. So
to
if
the
I
fullest.
Wanna, yeah, yeah. So if I want to go...
Uncle George!
Uncle George, go watch the baby a couple nights.
number one on the list. Probably right. Enemy number one.
Right. Or maybe an evening. Maybe George can do an evening. I don't know.
It's going to be fun, George.
Yeah.
It's practice.
You're going to have baby fever.
Yeah, baby we'll see.
With he's lot, like, with lots of practice.
Nah, but yeah, man. See, that my nigga Rich, he dropped jewels. He dropped knowledge.
He got that parental knowledge.
Yeah, so like... He that's his first jewel for me. Cause you remember the other day I was asking, I was like, yeah. I said, Richie, ain't he dropping no jewel? He was like, man, he was like, I can't give it to you all at once. And, you know what I'm saying? The baby not here yet, so I've been saving it. I was like, all right, I got you.
This is prior to the baby arrival.
Right, right. Saying,
establish a good base, foundation of people.
Preach, brother, preach.
People that love you and will love the baby just as well. They will nourish and treat that baby as their own.
Mm-hmm.
They will most certainly take the baby in and love it. Give it the love of God that God cannot himself provide.
Amen.
Am I preaching choir?
Preach.
God is good all the time.
Amen.
But yeah, man, shit.
You guys are wild.
Yeah, man. Yo, wow. I guess we can, you want to end it?
It's up to you. This might keep going a little more.
A little bit more. I'm about to say, this might be a two-parter, yo. If you fucking with me, it might be a two. George going to have to edit half of this.
Two for two, baby. Yeah. Besides, y'all did skip a whole damn week. Y'all skipped damn near 2 weeks, didn't y'all?
Yeah, so we can drop two either at once, or we can save one for 1 week. We ain't got to talk about it. We talk about it all the time. But yeah, man, I mean, shit, yeah, we can keep chopping it up. Since we got you here. It's,
yeah,
you
know, yeah. I mean, I might get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? But it's all good. I just have to take the wifey out to a nice lavish dinner. Mm-hmm. Everything is all good and hunky-dory.
More than $25 a plate.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
50,
but
more than 50.
I'm frugal, so I'm thinking like $21.95.
Okay.
$21.95.
Yeah. I know you know you find the deals.
We lit.